Father, we come before you thanking you for what you've done in our lives and what you have yet to do. Lord, as we look into this subject as well as the creation moment, we pray that you would give us encouragement, challenge us, Lord, that we might continue to grow, becoming more like you every day. Lord, we pray now for your blessings on this time of the service, and we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The creation moment. It's a warm day on the Amazon River. A small fish swims near the surface, looking among the natural floating debris for food. As this fish looks among the occasional leaf or twig in the water, he sees no danger. At the same time, one of the floating leaves is waiting for the little fish to move just a bit closer. Then, without warning, the floating leaf becomes alive and grabs the fish and eats it. What the little fish thought was simply another floating leaf was actually another fish, the Amazonian leaf fish. It's carefully designed not only to look like a leaf, but also to act like one as well. It has a flat body, very much like a leaf. A black line runs down the length of its body, giving it the appearance of a mid-rib of a leaf. A fleshy growth in the lower jaw looks just like a leaf's stem. Beyond looking like a leaf, the leaf fish also acts like a leaf. It lies still in the water, drifting with the current to hide its identity further. It draws its fin close to its body, removing any last hint that it is indeed a hungry fish looking for a lunch. The leaf fish combines deceptive coloring, appearance, and behavior into one design so that it, too, can make its living. In this, the leaf fish shows that the Creator makes nothing without also designing a special purpose for that creature. According to the Bible, the same can be said even more emphatically for each human being he has made. Your Creator has a special purpose for you too, and it begins with his plan of salvation for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's an amazing fish, isn't it? Just crazy that it evolved that way, right? kind of nuts that God just has so many creative things. We've just scratched the surface of these things, and just wonderful to see that. You know, today again, I'm going to continue with a little bit on leadership. We've talked about that last week, and shared some of the scriptures out of First Timothy and Titus, and now I want to talk about leadership from a different role. We do have two deacons to fill. We know that, two positions, and so we'll be voting on that on the 19th. So I want to share about lessons of leadership from the one who was the greatest leader of all. And we all can figure that out, Jesus Christ. Throughout his life, he exampled what it should be, what leadership should be. And then in the last moments of his life, he shared more plainly with his disciples. And so in John chapter 13, I want you to go there, 1639 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 13. Now we all know this as the foot washing. You know, the disciples got their feet washed by Jesus. And this is a very significant event because he taught some very necessary lessons in that action alone. And so we see in chapter 13, verse 1, it was the Passover feast, and it was we call it the Last Supper. They gathered together in the upper room, and he shared a few things with them at that point, I said that Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Now, it kind of goes into a few things about Judas and that, but it came to washing their feet. Verse 3, he knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot. It doesn't sound like it was a big deal. But it was a huge deal. Only servants washed feet. In fact, that there was a servant should have been there at that upper in that upper room washing the men's feet as they came in to have their meal. But nobody was. You know what else is kind of interesting is that none of the other disciples did it either. You know, and that's kind of like what happens, isn't it? Is we look around and say, well, somebody else will do it. And you know what happened was, as he does this, you know, there was this conversation beforehand. We're going to find out in Luke, there was a conversation about who is the greatest? You know, and I'm sure Peter jumped right in there, you know, and said, you know, I am. You know, who else walked on water? Huh? Did you? I did. Well, but you sank too. Well, no, that's beside the point. I got a few steps out there. I walked on water. And, you know, Jesus loved me best, after all, right? You know, and we all kind of get into that thing of who's the greatest, and the disciples were doing the same thing, and they in Luke had talked about that. We're going to go there in a little bit, but right now we're focusing on this thing where Jesus had to get up and wash the feet. Now, it wasn't so much that he had to because he wanted to develop this lesson and put forth this lesson to the disciples. So he comes to Peter, who, you know, is all puffed up about, I walked on water. And he says, you know, all right, it's your turn. And Peter says, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? And Jesus says, well, yeah. So you'll catch it later, but I'm going to wash your feet. No way. Verse 8, you're not going to wash my feet. You'll never wash my feet. Sound a little proud, you know, a little bit mixed in. You know, because here it is. It's like, is Jesus going to do this thing for him? And Peter is puffed up with pride and won't even let Jesus, the Creator God, God in the flesh, who he already had proclaimed, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And he tells him, almost scoldingly, you're never going to wash my feet. Jesus slapped him down pretty good because he said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. You're out of here. So you don't let me wash your feet. Well, what's so important about washing my feet? And Jesus said, you know, you got to wash your feet. And Simon says, well, then not my feet, but all my hands, my head, every part of me, wash me. And Jesus said, you know, I'm sure I can see Jesus now grabbing his nose and going, Peter, you know, schwack, you know, get the message here. I want you to understand this. So Jesus says in verse 10, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And now, and you're clean, though not every one of you. You know, he knew about Judas. Now when he finished in verse 12 washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And then he says to them, do you understand what I've done for you? You know, have you figured it out yet, Peter? He said, you call me teacher in verse 13, and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now what is that, are we supposed to go around washing each other's feet? That's not the point. I mean, I know there's some churches that have done that, a foot washing service, and that's all great. But it's a lot like Lent. We've all are familiar with Lent at some point or another, where you give up something, and everybody goes around and says, well, what'd you give up? I gave up chocolate, or I gave up this, or I gave up that, or I gave up meat, or, meat's a more common one. You give up this something, and you go around and you're kind of like, yeah, I did that for the Lord. Did you? Really? And the disciples were in the same situation. They're going around saying, yeah, we're with Jesus 3 years now. We're tough. We're the gospel group. And we've got the Christ. He's our man. And Jesus says, you're missing the whole thing. I'm washing your feet. I'm your teacher and your Lord. You've already recognized that. You've said you're the Christ, the Son of God. You know that I'm your teacher. I'm your Lord, your master. And I got down and washed your feet. Why did I do that for you? I did it as an example because you should wash each other's feet. You should serve one another. You see, leadership is not about lording it over, and we're going to get to that too in just a little bit. It's not about being the boss. It's not about being numero uno, the big cheese, number one boss man, all that kind of stuff. It's not about that. It's about being a servant to others. It's about doing what they want, considering others more important than yourselves. Does it mean that you throw everything out and you just follow people? No, that's not what it meant. Because Jesus didn't do that. He had a specific way that he did things. He knew what God wanted him to do, what God the Father wanted him to do, and that's what it said. It said, we kind of passed over that pretty quick, verse 3, where it said, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Wow. All things under his power. And that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal and he went and washed feet. Wait a minute. He knew God the Father. He knew all things are under his feet. He had all power. He had everything. And yet, he gets up and washes their feet. How in the world? Why? If there was somebody, a CEO of some company, making multi-million dollar salary, you think you're going to catch him on the line running stuff through the line in the factory? Is he going to take off his suit and clothes and get blue jeans on and coveralls and earplugs and a hard hat and go out there and get his hands dirty? Is that what he's going to do, do you think? No. He's not going to do that. I mean, you're not going to find that. That's what Jesus was teaching, though. He was teaching that just because you're the number one boss man, that doesn't exempt you from going and get your hands dirty, being part of what's going on, being in amongst all the people who are lifting you up or helping you or part of your ministry. You see, the disciples could miss that because the Pharisees were doing it. They were doing exactly that. They were standing on the street corners and they were offering up these flowerful, wonderful, all the words just right prayers. You know, the oh God. And everybody was just going, oh man, I wish I could pray like him. And then they walk around with the flowing robes, and they're just all just pretty and handsome guys and chiseled and went to the barbers and had everything lined out and they were looking like just cool. And people were like, wow, I want to be like him. And Jesus says, that's not what you want to be like, because they were out there going, you do this and you do that. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. No. They just wanted to run other people's lives. And so, Jesus is teaching to be the servant. And he says, because I'm the teacher and the Lord doesn't mean I don't get down and do what you do. And that's why he was born as a baby. That's why he was born in a manger. That's why. Because he could have been born in a palace. He could have been born with riches beyond measure. Nothing stopped him from doing that. But he was born in a manger as a baby, lived his life as a carpenter's son. And that was getting your hands dirty. That was being part of what everybody else did. And so he tells his disciples to be like that. Be that kind of leader. I want you to go to Luke before we totally run out of time. We're already. Sorry. Verse 22. Or chapter 22, sorry. 1605. I'll make it quicker. We'll get it going here. Verses 24 through 30. In Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 30, it says, also dispute arose among them, considering who's the greatest. Remember I mentioned that. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I'm among you as one who serves. Yet you are those who have stood by me in the trials. I confer to you the kingdom, etc. So, in other words, he's saying to them, the one who sits at the table and gets served isn't the greatest. It's the one who serves. Now that seems opposite. Like here we are in the world and we think, oh, well, the guy that's at the table, he's the boss. He's the big guy. But that's not leadership in God's church. That's not leadership according to Jesus Christ and God. It's leadership is servanthood. Lead by example. Lead by showing what it was. Jesus didn't pray, oh, we got to get to that one. 31. I want you to see this just before we close. Verse 31. Jesus gets done with all this and he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. I want you to think about that for a second, because I'm going to open that up for you a little bit. Jesus did not pray that Peter would not be tested. That's disconcerting. Because when we're going to go through trials, when we're going to go through hardships that he knows we're going to go through, he's not praying for us that we don't go through them. He's not praying for that. He's praying that our faith will not fail. But Peter failed. And Jesus knew he would. And what did he say? And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. The trial had a very specific purpose. He knew that Satan was going to sift him like wheat. He knew that Satan was going to slap him up, and Peter was going to fail. Why? Because he's human. We are all human beings. And when Satan slaps you up, you are going to fail. Because Satan knows what to do and how to do it. And we're just human beings. But when we fail, God is right there with us. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. We know that because Scripture tells us that. The trial is for a greater purpose. The trial is to build us up. It's to make us stronger. And when the trial is over, when we fail, when we've done the miserable things that we'll do, we start to strengthen our brothers and sisters. To go with them with the strength that has been given to us through the trial, through our failure. Jesus is praying that our faith will not fail. Not that we won't, because we will. But our faith can remain strong. Our faith can be the thing that carries us through. And when it carries us through, we'll be stronger yet to strengthen others and to do the greater things that God has called us to do. Don't beat yourself up because you failed. I've been there. I've beat myself up too many times. And reading this gives me such an encouragement because God's not beating us up. We're beating ourselves up. Seek God's grace. He will sustain us through no matter what test is brought to us. No matter what Satan does to us, well, no matter how much and how miserably we failed, God will still be there and will sustain us by His grace. Leaders are human, but God calls them, knowing that fact, that we are human, that we will fail. He calls us nonetheless because He wants human beings. He wants us to be elevated to a place of leadership, to a place where we can serve Him and serve others. And no matter what happens in our lives, He will lift us up. He will strengthen us to do greater things. Those that answer the call, even knowing that it will be difficult, that's a leader. And I pray that we all desire to be that kind of leader. I'd like us to open your hymn, it'll be up on the screen. Two verses of I Know Whom I Have Believed. 310 for those that like the book, up on the screen for those that just want to read it out. Let's all stand and we'll sing the two verses, first and last verses.